nursing care of children who have heart disease conditions. These heart conditions that I'm about to talk about, they are divided into different segments. So we'll look at the heart condition that has to do with increased pulmonary blood flow, decreased pulmonary blood flow, the obstructed heart disease, and the mixed heart disease. So for the first one, these are either congenital heart disease condition or they are acquired heart condition for pediatric patients. So you have the first one that has to do with increased pulmonary blood flow. Pulmonary blood flow. So these conditions under here, when the child has any of these conditions, it leads to increased pulmonary blood flow. The conditions include one, the ASD, the ASD, two, the VSD, you have the ASD, the VSD, and you have the PDA under here. So we have the increased pulmonary blood flow condition. You have the ASD, the PSD, the VSD, and the PDA. These four conditions fall under increased pulmonary blood flow. The ASD is the atrial septal defect condition. The VSD is the ventricular septal defect. And the PDA is the patent ductus arteriosus. Now, these three conditions, when a child has any of these conditions, it increases the pulmonary blood flow into systemic circulation. That's why they are referred to as the increased pulmonary blood flow conditions. Then you have the second group of conditions under here, the decreased pulmonary blood flow condition. Decreased pulmonary blood flow condition. Pulmonary blood flow conditions. For these ones, you have one, the TOF, tetralogy of Fallot. TOF is one. Two, you have tricuspid atresia. Tricuspid atresia. Now, these two conditions, when a child has any of these conditions, it decreases the blood flow or the pulmonary blood flow to systemic circulation. That's why they fall under decreased blood flow condition. And now the third of these conditions, of these heart defects, is the obstructive blood flow condition. Obstructive blood flow condition. Now for these conditions, if a child has any of these conditions under here, there will be an obstruction of blood flow to systemic circulation. That's why they are referred to as the obstructive blood flow condition. There are three. The first one, you have coartation of the aorta. Coartation of the aorta is one. Two, you have pulmonary stenosis, and you have the aortic stenosis. These three conditions, when a child has any one of these conditions, there will be an obstruction of blood flow to systemic circulation, because when you hear the word stenosis, it means is the tightening or the closing of a valve, of a passageway of a lumen. Now, then the last of these conditions is the mixed blood flow. The fourth one is the mixed blood flow condition. Now, under these mixed blood flow conditions, the first one, you have transposition of great artery, the TGA, transposition of the great artery. This one you're going to see, the two arteries that's supposed to leave the heart to go different part of the body, they are transposed. They'll have crisscrossing of these arteries. So we call them the transposition of great arteries. The next one is truncus arteriosus, the truncus arteriosus, TA. And the last of these conditions is what we call hypoplastic left heart syndrome, the hypoplastic left heart syndrome, HLHS, hypoplastic left heart syndrome. So these conditions under here, you have to know them for the NCLEX. You gotta make sure and be able to understand the group that fall within the first segment, that is the increased pulmonary blood flow, know their common characteristics. And for this individual, we call these conditions the pink baby condition, because there will be enough circulation, there will be good perfusion, so the child will appear pink, meaning they have good perfusion. Now, in the decreased blood flow conditions, they are called the blue baby's condition. So the one that the body will demand more blood flow, but the body gets less blood flow, the child will look cyanotic. They will look bluish in discoloration, and that bluishness of the appearance of the skin is due to lack of blood flow or due to decreased perfusion or decreased circulation, which we refer to as the blue babies. So let's take them one at a time and see the common characteristics. So I'm going to begin with the increased pulmonary blood flow conditions. Now, so these conditions under here I'm about to talk about, when a child has any of these conditions, there will be increased pulmonary blood flow. The first of these conditions is the ASD. Now, the atrial septal defect. Second is the ventricular septal defect. The third is the patent ductus arteriosus. Now, before going in there, these conditions, there is an increased pulmonary blood flow when a child has this condition, meaning this will allow blood to shift from the high pressure left side of the heart to the right side of the heart, which will lower the pressure of the heart. Now, in this increased pulmonary blood flow, there will be increased blood volume on the right side of the heart, and there will be increased pulmonary blood flow to that side of the heart. Now, so let's look at, for common example here, this could be the heart in a sense. So the heart has two sides, the left and the right side. This become the right side of the heart. This is the left side of the heart. Now, this left side of the heart, somewhere around here, we have the lungs. Our lungs is somewhere around here. Now, our lung supplies the heart with O2. Now, so O2 enters the heart or the blood in the lung, and the lung supplies the left side of the blood with the heart, the left side of the heart of the blood. So blood coming in here will contain O2. That's why this entire left side of the heart is called blood that contains O2. We call it the oxygenated heart. This left side of the heart is where you have O2 living, or O2 is in the side of the blood, or in the side of the heart. Now, under here, you're going to have blood shifting. So all these conditions that fall under this increased pulmonary blood flow, which include the ASD, the VSD, and the PDA, these conditions, there will be blood shifting from the left side of the heart to the right side of the heart. So in this condition, there will be an opening between here, an opening in the two areas of the heart, one of them. Now, so the first one is the ASD, the atrial septal defect. The first one is the ASD. Let's talk about the ASD with this diagram. In the ASD, when you have the atrial septal of the heart, there is a hole between the right and left atrium. This hole right here, there's an opening here. This opening will allow blood to flow from this left side of the heart into this hole and come into the rest of the heart. That's what we call the ASD, the atrial septal defect, because the two upper chamber of the heart are the atria. You have the right atria here, the left atria. So in the ASD, atrial septa, what's the septa? Or the septum is the demarcation between the left and right atrium. This becomes the septum. This portion right here, this line that comes from here coming down here, is the septum, this red line. So this septum, if the child has ASD, atria, the two atria of the heart has an opening This opening is in the septum of the heart. So the defect is the opening. So in ASD, there will be a hole or an opening between the left and right side of the heart, which will allow blood from this portion to shift into this opening and passes through and get to this side of the heart. That's why we said in the increased pulmonary blood flow, there is blood shifting from the left side of the heart to the right side of the heart. Now, any question on this explanation first, before moving forward? Any question on that?
The shifting of blood from the left side to the right side?
Yes. So blood shift from the left side of the heart to the right side. This is the left side of the heart, where the lung is attached. The lung supplies the heart with oxygen, with O2. Because when you are breathing in and out, O2 enters the lung and allow CO2 to get out of the lungs. So when the blood needs to get oxygenated, the blood gets its O2 from the lungs. And when lungs produces O2 to the blood enters the left side of the heart. That becomes, this is the left side, and blood will shift from the left side to the right side. That's why I put arrow here. The arrow is leaving from the left side to the right side. This becomes the defect in here, the opening in here, which allow blood to pass. Now, this opening should not be here. But because of the defect, that's why it got opening there. So that happens in there. Now, in this situation, there are a few things I want to understand here. This condition, first of all, this condition is asymptomatic. This ASD condition is asymptomatic. It does not have symptoms at the beginning. It is asymptomatic. That's the first thing. Now, the second thing I want us to know about this ASD is there will be a large heart murmur in a split second. So there will be a large heart murmur, a large harsh murmur. So there will be a heart murmur heard on the heart that has ASD, atrial septal defect. And then under here, they will have a heart failure. They will have heart failure in this condition. Heart failure will be in this ASD. These are the few things I want you to understand about ASD. There will be a large heart murmur. There will be a heart failure. And there's going to be, sometimes there will be no symptoms shown within this situation. That's the first one I want you to understand. Now, in the second condition is what we refer to as the VSD. Now, after the ASD as the first one, second one becomes the VSD. The VSD is what we call the ventricular septal defect. Ventricular septal defect. Now, in the VSD, let's look at the heart condition. Look at the heart diagram. There's our heart here again. The heart has two sides. Left, this is the right side of the heart. This is the left side of the heart. The heart has two left, right sides. It has two upper and lower side, lower portion. The upper portion of the heart, we call it the atrium or the atrium. The left atrium and the right atrium. Now, the lower side of the heart are called the ventricle. So you have the left ventricle and the right ventricle. Now, this condition is ventricular septal defect, meaning the defect will be in the lower part of the heart, which are the ventricle. Now, in this situation, there will be an opening in here. Just as we had an opening in the upper part in ASD, this is VSD. There will be an opening in the ventricle of the heart. Now, this opening will allow blood to flow from the left side of the heart into the right side of the heart. That's what I said. All these conditions in the increased pulmonary blood flow, their common similarity is they all have an opening that allows blood to flow from the left side of the heart to the right side of the heart. All of them. That's one common characteristic of all the increased pulmonary blood flow heart condition in pediatrics. Now, in this situation again, there will be an opening between the left side of the heart and the right side of the heart, which will allow blood from the left side to flow into the right side. That's why it is called ventricular. The only difference between the left, the VSD and the ASD is the ASD occurs in the atrium up here, and the VSD occurs in the ventricle, which is down the lower chamber of the heart. Now, in the VSD, there is one thing I want to answer on here also. There is a loud, harsh murmur that is heard at the left sternum border. That's one. There will be a large, harsh murmur that you will hear at the left sternal border, the left sternal border of the heart or of the chest wall. So you will see this occurring here. There will be a large heart sound. When you auscultate, you're listening to a large heart sound heard at the left sternal border. This point is important to know for the ankles. In VSD, there is a large, harsh murmur, heart sound that is heard at the left sternal border. Now, another thing for this condition is, you will hear there's going to be heart failure. There will be heart failure, and you're going to have the symptom of heart failure coming. So there will be heart failure. You see the symptom of a heart failure. Now, this condition, the third thing I want to do, this condition does not need treatment. The opening here closes by itself. It closes by itself. It does not need treatment. It closes by itself. Those are the three things I want to understand about the VSD, ventricular septal defect. Now, and they are also asymptomatic. Sometimes. Now the last one becomes the PDA. The PDA is what we call the patent ductus arteriosus. Patent ductus arteriosus. Arteriosus. PDA for short. For the PDA, is a condition in which the normal fetal circulation, that is the normal conduit, the normal opening through which the fetal heart will beat and they will exchange blood between the mother and the fetal circulatory system, that normal conduit fails to close at birth. When you are pregnant, the baby will use their heart to distribute blood into their own systemic circulation. But guess what? Their lungs are not working. The lungs will not work when they are in utero. So there's an opening that allows us to bypass the lungs during uterine life for the fetus. That opening should be able to close at birth. So the moment the child is born, it should close by itself. Now, failure for that opening to close before birth is what we call patent ductus arteriosus, meaning that opening did not close by itself until the child is born. When the child is born, the hole remains in the chest until they are born. When that occurs, it gave rise to what we call the patent ductus arteriosus. Now, in this patent ductus arteriosus, there are a few things I want to make mention on. One, the bypass, let's say the bypass of the lungs does not close before birth, which is referred to as the PDA. That's one. Two, when you listen to the chest of a patient or of a child who has PDA, there is a murmur. You hear a machine-like murmur. There is a machine-like murmur that you were here on auscultation. I said, so when you hear the word machine leg murmur for heart condition, is PDA. The next thing I want to understand about PDA is, when you do the pulse for the patient, they will have wide pulse pressure. There will be a wide pulse pressure. There will be wide pulse pressure for PDA patients. And the next thing I want to understand is that they will also have heart failure. They will have heart failure symptoms, and there is going to be, sometimes it is asymptomatic. Is asymptomatic. Now, what do we understand? Asymptomatic. What are the common features for these conditions? One, all of them have, they have some common feature. One, they are all increased pulmonary blood flow condition. That's one. Two, all of these conditions, there is blood shifting from what? From the left to the right side of the heart. That's two. Three, all these conditions is asymptomatic. They are all asymptomatic at times. Asymptomatic. Four, they all have symptoms, or they can all cause heart failure. These are common things that you find among these conditions, among the PS, the PDA, ASD, and the VSD. Any condition on this? Any question on this? On this increased pulmonary blood flow conditions?
Yes, I have a question to ask.
Your phone is very low. Can you please increase your volume? Your phone is very low. Your phone is very low. Can you increase your phone volume, please?
In the volume, I have increased it fully. I don't know. Can you hear me well now?
I'm hearing, but I'm finding it hard to hear you well.
I don't know why. Okay. I said, you said ventricular septal defect. Here, all of them, it can lead to heart failure. And they say it needs no treatment. Why is it then, what then bothers the physician or the physician taking care of the child, since it needs no treatment and it can also lead to heart failure? Then how do we reconcile with this? So it has no treatment at all.
So there is no treatment because it causes by itself. But that's what I said. I said sometimes there is no symptoms. Sometimes there is no symptom. Possibly there is no symptom, but that does not mean that there is no symptom at all. Now, if a patient has heart failure, there will be symptom for heart failure. There will be dyspnea. There will be jugular vein enlargement. There will be sometimes the feet will become edematous. There will be irritability for the babies, decreased appetite. So all these things will start to happen to the babies who have these conditions. So there might be no symptoms. There are some that go by themselves. Some will need treatment. It should close before birth, not after birth. It should close before birth. Now, if it does not close before birth, that's when the child gonna have PDA. If it close before birth, meaning that there is no PDA. Yeah. Now, for these conditions, for the ASD, we can implement non-surgical procedure for the ASD. We can treat it with cardiac catheterization. We can do cardiac catheterization to help treat the condition for ASD. Now, for the ASD, that can help to treat it. Then for the VSD, for the VSD, also we use the same procedure to close it. We can use both surgical and non-surgical procedure to close it. For surgical procedure, we can do a complete repair for the two conditions. We can do repair. So this, we can also do cauterization for non-surgical procedure. So these are non-surgical procedure. Cauterization and these are non-surgical procedure. If we are to do a surgical procedure for these conditions, we'll do a repair, a full repair. So we'll go in and close the hole manually. That becomes a full repair, which requires surgery. Or we'll put patch in there. There could be a patch that covers the hole. We'll go in and put artificial patch, or put some patch in there from some other scheme or some other product of the body, and close the opening for the surgical procedure. So if there is no non-surgical, if there is not any means to do non-surgical procedure, would do the surgical procedure to repair the patient. We can use patch. Now, for the PDA, we can administer a medication called indomethacin. Indomethacin can be administered as a drug of choice to close that patent ductus. Hello? Yeah. Yes, then you did the procedure.
How long do I stay, you know, for the holes to close? Like, because I know that something like a mom will keep going, you know, on types of visit and stuff. So how long does it take?
So what I know is that when the child, before the child is born, it should close. It should be closed. If it's not closed, the child is born, meaning that they gotta do surgical procedure. So it depends on when the surgery can be done. So if it is done, they can do it. They can close it right out. But those procedure they can do it one time. It should be able to close it with one time cauterization, or they can do just one time surgical repair with a patch to close it. It doesn't have to go there 2-3 times. You can do it one time and then you do follow up. Yeah. Now for the PDA, you have we can administer indomethacin as a drug of choice. We can also do cardiac cauterization, or we can do a thoracoscopic repair. We can do a thoracoscopic repair for this PDA. Thoracoscopic repair. For the PDA. So these are conditions in the treatment when it comes to the first increased pulmonary blood flow condition of the heart for pediatric patients. Now under here we have the decreased pulmonary blood flow condition. Now there are two conditions under here. You have the one referred to as the tricuspid atresia, the tricuspid atresia. Now, under here, the name is just very simple. The heart is in this cycle, and you have the 3 leaflet valve and the 2 leaflet valve. So this becomes the tricuspid. So the tricuspid is the valve that is found between the right atrium and the left atrium. This valve, I'm called the tricuspid valve. It forms between the right and left. It forms between the right atrium and the right ventricle. It's formed between the right atrium and the right ventricle. It's the valve that forms between the two chambers, the upper right atrium and the lower right ventricle. It is a right valve. That's why it forms between the two right chambers up and down. Now, under this condition, when you hear the word atresia, I want us to know this word. Atresia There is atresia and there is stenosis. Stenosis is the narrowing of a lumen or of an opening of a tube. That is stenosis. When there is stenosis, the tube does not close just one time, but it gets narrow. Now, when there is atresia, it does not narrow, it closes. So atresia is the complete closure of the tricuspid valve between the right atria and the right ventricle. So in tricuspid atresia, there is a complete closure of the tricuspid valve between the right atria and the right ventricle. That's what happening in here. Now, for this condition, there is a need to open that portion to allow blood to go to the left side of the heart. Now, if blood does not flow from this side of the heart to go through easily, blood will not go to the left side. The blood leave from the right side, go to the lungs, gets O2, it comes to the left side of the heart. That's how blood should flow. So when there's an atresia here, blood cannot come down to the right ventricle and blood will not pass and go to the lungs and subsequently come to the left side of the heart. That won't be possible. So in tricuspid atresia, blood is not allowed to flow in its normal path. That's what happened in here. Now, when this occurs, the child will have all of these symptoms. One, the child is going to have cyanosis. There'll be, because there is no blood flow. When there's no blood flow, the child becomes bluish. The child will have dyspnea because blood moves with O2. Blood carried O2 for perfusion and circulation. So when there is no blood flow, there will be dyspnea. They're going to have tachycardia, fast heart rate. They will have this coming in because there is no blood flow. Now, these are symptoms for the infants. These three symptoms are for infants or for neonate. So when they are born, they will have these symptoms. They are for infants or neonate. Cyanosis, dyspnea, tachycardia. Now, for the older children, if it is not detected until the child grows, the older children will have hypoxemia. They will have hypoxemia. They will have clubbing of the fingernails, clubbing of the nails. They will have that occurring. These are the common symptoms that you're going to figure out when a child has this condition. So under here, hypoxemia and clubbing of the nails are to older children. Why cyanosis, dyspnea, and tachycardia are to older, are the younger children. Now, let's remember that there will be a heart failure there will be symptom of heart failure. So there might be other symptoms that the book did not talk about. We'll see it in here. So these conditions under here, there will be a decreased pulmonary blood flow in here. Now, for this condition, for all these conditions under here, they are referred to as the blue spell or the blue babies. They are called the blue babies condition. So we'll see the TET spell, T-E-T. TET spell, T-E-T, spells is the other name for this condition. These two conditions, you talk about the TOF and the A and the TA, they are called a TET spell, the blue or TET spell condition. They will have hyperpnea and they will have cyanosis under here. Now the next condition here is the TOF. So after the tricuspid atresia, the next one becomes the TOF, tetralogy of Fallot. Now, this is one of the most common questions that comes in the NCLEX slide that I apply for this heart condition, the TOF, tetralogy. We're going to have, now, tetra means four. In math, when you're doing math, tetra means four. So there are four conditions that fall under tetralogy of Fallot, four conditions. Those conditions include one, you have these conditions, you have one, there is pulmonary stenosis. There is one, you have pulmonary stenosis. Stenosis. That's one. Two, you have a pulmonary stenosis. Then you have these defects. You have, there are four that fall under the category of Fowler. Like I talked about, the first one was the pulmonary stenosis. Second type is the ventricular septal defect. Ventricular septal defect is one. And the third one is the overriding of the aorta. You have the overriding of the aorta. And the fourth one is the right ventricular hypertrophy. Right ventricular hypertrophy. Ventricular hypertrophy. These are what we call the charge of Fowler condition. Now, but basically, there are two conditions that fall under the decreased pulmonary blood flow. This is the charge of Fowler and the tricuspid atresia. The reason why I place the honor here, because this condition fall under TOF condition, just for the NCLEX. So there are four that fall under TOF. Pulmonary stenosis, VSD, overriding of the aorta, and the right ventricular hypertrophy. These conditions, the child is born, the child's entire body is bluish. So when the child is born, they will have cyanosis at birth. At birth, that's the first thing that's gonna happen to the to this patient who have to the patient who have TOF conditions. That's one. Two, there is systolic heart murmur. Here there will be a systolic heart murmur. Let's remember where we're gonna hear a large heart murmur. Where do we hear a machine murmur? And where we're going to hear a systolic heart murmur. These are important NCLEX points. Then we're also going to have, there will be what we call TET spells. So they will have TET spells occurring. TET. TET spells. This condition, this brand of condition is marked by what we call TET spells. And this TET spell is what we call blue spell because they're having some, they will have hypoxia. So they're going to have hypoxia, which will be the test spell in here. There will be decreased blood flow. These are the cardinal signs that mark decreased pulmonary blood flow conditions, the TOF. Now, there are some common features for these conditions that fall under the decreased pulmonary blood flow. Those common things are one, there will be decreased blood flow. The first thing, there will be decreased pulmonary blood flow. That's one common feature among them. That's one. Two, for this condition, there is blood flow, blood will shift. So blood shift from the right side of the heart to the heart left side. They are the opposite for the increased blood flow. So for this condition, blood flows from the right side of the heart to the left side of the heart. That's what happening in the decreased blood flow condition, decreased pulmonary blood flow conditions. Now, these conditions, they are called, what we call TET spells. So they're going to have one, they will have hyperpneia, increased breath rate. They will have hyperpneia and last, they have cyanosis, or the how we call the blue spell or blue spell or TET spells for them. These are the four cardinal signs for decreased pulmonary blood flow conditions. So these ones are just belonging to the entire condition under here. Any question on these conditions? Any question on them? For these conditions, what is important for them is for their treatment, for the treatment of, for these conditions, for the TOF, we do a shunt placement. When they are born, there will be a shunt placement until they do the surgery. Now for this condition, the surgery must be done in 1 year. For this condition, for the TOF, it should be done in 1 year of life. So if it's not done right after birth, they're going to put in a shunt placement. So they're going to have that occurring in here. Then for the tricuspid atresia, this requires 3 surgeries. The tricuspid atresia, this requires 3 surgeries, 3 surgical procedures, 3 surgeries. So they have the 3 surgeries advised in the 3 categories, in the 3 procedures. In the first procedure, we'll do the shunt placement. Right after birth, we'll do the shunt placement. That's the first procedure I've done, the shunt placement. Then we'll do the Glenn procedure, the Glenn, G-L-E-N-N. Glenn procedure is done after that. Then the last time we'll go for the surgery, you're going to do the modified Fontan procedure. Modified Fontan, F-O-N-T-N, Fontan procedure. The modified Fontan procedure. So this tricuspid atresia has 3 surgical stages. The shunt placement right after birth, the Glenn procedure, and the last one is the Fontan procedure. These are endless questions for our end. Please remember this very well. Any question? Then we move to the mixed defect, the mixed blood defect. The third one becomes the mixed blood defect, mixed blood defects. Now, under the mixed blood defects, we have 3 conditions under here. The first one is the TGA, transposition of great artery. Transposition of great artery. TGA. For these conditions, they have similar characteristics. The first of those characteristics is they all have blood mixing. Now, under this condition, our heart should be in this diagram. Now, this is the right atrium, the left atrium, the right ventricle, the left ventricle. There are 2 arteries that will be transposition. So normally our heart, the normal one is, this is the aorta. The aorta branches out from the left ventricle because it supplies blood to systemic circulation. Now then from the rest of the heart, you have these pulmonary arteries that branches out from the right ventricle and supplies blood to the lungs. So these are the 2 great arteries. The pulmonary artery and the aorta, they are the 2 great arteries. Now, under normal circumstances, these 2 arteries, they should branch out the heart in this dimension. In the case of this heart condition, TGA, it won't happen like this. That means this aorta will branch out from the right side while the pulmonary artery will branch out from the left side. So they will branch out like this. That becomes transposition, like crisscross. So when you hear the word crisscross, you hear the word transposition of artery, it will cross in TGA condition. So the aorta, instead of coming out or branching out of the heart through the left ventricle, it branches out the heart through the right ventricle. Likewise, the pulmonary artery, instead of branching out the heart from the right ventricle, it branches out the heart through the left ventricle. That's what happening. So that's what we call transposition of great artery. So this aorta will come from this place. It becomes the aorta. Then this pulmonary artery will come from this side, become the pulmonary artery. So when this occurs, we are having transposition of the arteries of the heart. For this heart condition, so that means when our heart is in this shape, this side is the left side of the heart. It contains O2. This side is the right side of the heart. It contains DO2. Meaning blood in here does not have O2. Blood in here has O2. So when the heart these two arteries, when they are mixed formed, the blood from here will mix in here. Blood from here will mix in here. That's why we call them the mixed blood defect. So there will be a mixture of blood between the two heart sides, because the left side of the heart contains O2, right side of the heart contains no O2. So when you have transposition of great artery TGA, there will be a mixture of O2 and DO2 blood in the lower chamber of the heart. That's what happening in there. So under here, the TGA is a condition in which the aorta is connected to the right side of the heart instead of the left side, like I said. And the pulmonary artery is coming out from the left ventricle instead of the right ventricle. So there's a septal defect, or PDA must exist in order to provide O2 to the blood. Now, this can be, there will be a murmur. But the murmur can be heard depending on what side the opening is located. There will be cardiomegaly. So the symptoms are: one, there will be a heart murmur. Two, there will be enlarged heart, cardiomegaly, which is called enlarged heart. There will be cardiomegaly. And three, there will be heart failure. So those are the three cardinal signs that are going to occur with the TGA. Then the next condition under here, under the mixed heart condition, we're going to have, the next one is going to be truncus arteriosus. Truncus arteriosus. Now, in the truncus arteriosus, for this, under here, the truncus arteriosus is T-R-U-N, truncus, T-R-U-N. In truncus arteriosus, there is a failure of a septa to form. So the blood is mixed in the lower chambers. So again, this is the heart diagram. This is the right side of the heart, the left side of the heart. Now, in truncus arteriosus, there will be no septum under here. So you see what happening here? So the left and right ventricle of the heart, there will be no demarcations. So the blood from this side of the heart will come in here. Blood from the rest of the heart will come in here. So you have both O2 and D, also the blood in the same place. So this ventricle will not be divided. There will be one ventricle. So one ventricle will receive two different blood. So it will mix the blood out and let the blood into different location. So blood going towards our systemic circulation will contain both O2 and CO2. Blood going back to the lungs will also contain both O2 and CO2 in truncus arteriosus. That's what happening in here. Any question on this diagram. For these symptoms, there will be cyanosis, there will be delayed growth, the child will delay in growth. We are going to have heart murmur, there will be heart murmur, there will be fatigue, and then lastly, there will be poor feeding habit, poor feeling or decreased appetite. You'll see it in the babies. These are the cardinal signs for truncus arteriosus. On the average, generally, this condition or these conditions, there will be blood mixed in from two different parts of the heart into one area. What is important to know here is it has three parts, and the last one will be hypoplastic left heart syndrome. So the last of these three is what we call the hypoplastic left heart syndrome. The third condition, hypoplastic left heart syndrome. Now, the hypoplastic left heart syndrome, this occurs when the left side of the heart is underdeveloped. So it might be small, it might not have enough space to get enough blood. So you might see it like this. This right side might be wider, the chambers are wider, the left side chambers are smaller. So this could be an example of hypoplastic left heart syndrome. It's gonna happen here. Now when this condition occur, there will be heart failure, there will be cyanosis, there will be lethargy, there will be poor feeding, there will be the hands, importantly, there will be cold, the hands and feet will be cold. Cold feet and hands. The feet and the hands will be very cold. There are cold feet and hands in this situation. Your feet, your palm, your sole of the feet will appear very cold. And there will be decreased cardiac output, there will be decreased cardiac output. Then the child can collapse, and they might die from this condition. So there will be a collapse, there will be a cardiovascular collapse, which can kill the child instantly for the hypoplastic left heart syndrome. Now, for the treatment for these conditions, these three conditions, for the TGA is treated. They do surgery to switch the heart, to switch the valve. Because in TGA, there is thrombosis of the two arteries. The aorta will come out from the rest of the heart while the pulmonary artery comes out from the left of the heart. So they have to do a surgery to repair that or those mixed structure. This should be done in 2 weeks. In 2 weeks of life, it should be done to save the child. So TGA needs to be corrected in the first 2 weeks of life. So these are serious heart conditions that do not need to even waste time before it can be repaired. Now, the next one is the truncus arteriosus. For the truncus arteriosus, there should be a surgical procedure done within the first 1 month. In the first 1 month of life, meaning the lower chambers does not have the two lower chambers do not have any separation or any demarcation, so this needs to be repaired within the first 1 month of life to save the child. And the last condition is the hypoplastic left heart syndrome. This also we have three surgical procedures done to correct the repair. Three surgical procedures, just like the three in just like how we did it, we did the three surgery in tricuspid atresia. Remember, right? In tricuspid atresia, we did three surgery. We did the shunt replacement, the fountain procedure, and we did lastly, we did the gland procedure. So in tricuspid atresia, we'll do three procedures, and those three procedures include one. We'll do the Norwood procedure, the Norwood, N-O-R-W-O-O-D. The Norwood procedure is the first one we do. After the Norwood procedure, the next one we will do is the gland shunt. We'll do the gland procedure. The third one we'll do is the fontaine procedure. So the difference between this and the truncus arteria, the other one is just Norwood. This has Norwood to be done. The other one does not have Norwood. This, the other one has shunt placement. This does not have shunt placement as the first procedure. So these are the differences. These are the differences between the truncus, the difference between the left heart syndrome and that of the tricuspid atresia. Any question?
Yeah, I didn't understand the hypoplastic very well. And I was not so...
Okay, we said in this condition, the heart is not formed well. There might be one of the heart, the left side of the heart is not formed well, it's underdeveloped. The child will have cold hands, cold feet, they will have heart failure, they will have mild cyanosis. Those are things that are going to happen. And the procedure can be done to correct this anomaly in three ways. The Norwood procedure, the gland procedure, and then the last one is the Norwood, the gland. The last one becomes the, how do you call it?
The
Fontan procedure, yeah. So under here, you have the obstructive blood flow. The first condition for the obstructive blood flow condition of the heart is the pulmonary stenosis. The child will have pulmonary valve become narrow. The child will become bluish or cyanotic. They will have heart failure and they will have cardiomegaly. That's one. Now, the next condition under is the aortic stenosis. The next one under the obstructive blood flow would be aortic stenosis. Now, under here also, it is the condition in which the aortic valve will become narrow. Now, this is the heart again. The aorta of the heart is on the left side of the heart, just as it is the opposite of the pulmonary stenosis. So here was the pulmonary valve, and the valve under here becomes narrow, which is the valve that allows blood from the right ventricle into the lungs. Now this is the aorta. The valve in here that lives in the aorta is called the aortic valve. This valve becomes narrow, and this valve is directly linked to the left ventricle. And this valve allows blood into what? Systemic circulations. So when it gets narrow, it leads to a condition called aortic stenosis. It is not closing, but it becomes narrower than its actual lumen. These conditions, the child will have symptoms will include one, there'll be faint pulse. The pulse will become very thin pulse. The child will have hypotension. They will have hypotension. They're going to have hypotension. They will have tachycardia and they'll have poor feeding. They will have tachycardia and they'll have poor feeding. Poor feeding will come in here. Now, these symptoms, are linked to infants. These are the infants. Now again, every time the ankylosing material gives you a difference between children and other symptoms, or infants and children's symptoms, make sure you know that different or those differences. This for infants. So the infant will have thin pulse, hypotension, poor feeding, and they will have tachycardia for the infant. For the older children, they're going to have they are going to have dizziness, pains in the chest, and they will have possible ejection murmur. It's a big one. They will have possible ejection murmur for children because they play a lot, so they will have possible ejection murmur for the children above 2 years. Below 2 years, they will have thin pulse, hypotension, tachycardia, and poor feeding. Now, the third condition under here, is coartation of aorta. The third one is the coartation of the aorta. Coartation of the aorta. That's the third heart condition under the obstructive blood flow. Now, if you listen to it, now this is just like blood flow being obstructed to where it's supposed to go. So that's what you're going to see under these conditions. Now, the first of these under this COA, it is almost like a aortic stenosis. Now, aortic stenosis versus coartation of the aorta. They sound different, but they have similar symptoms, but they are different. Why are they different? Now, in COA conditions, the lumen of the aorta is narrow. Under here, the lumen is narrow. There is narrow the lumen. The lumen of the aorta is narrow. The lumen is narrow. Now, let's see something here. So, this is the heart here. So, the heart has this blood artery, which is the aorta. Now, when in this aorta, we have the valve in here. There's the valve in here. When there is aortic stenosis, the lumen remains the same, but the valve in here becomes narrow. So aortic stenosis, it is the valve that becoming narrow in aortic stenosis. In COA, coartation of the aorta, the valve is not what gets narrow, it is the lumen. This lumen will become narrow. So it will form a narrow lumen like this, and it will be like this. So instead of being big lumen, because the aorta is the biggest blood vessel in the body. Now, in the case of COA, this supposed to be big lumen, it will become a narrow lumen. That's where you're going to have COA condition. When that occurs, the patient will have, in COA condition, there will be hypertension in the arms or in the upper arms, and there will be hypotension in the lower leg or in the leg or in the lower extremity. That's one thing. So there will be elevated BP in the arms, and in the legs it won't be elevated. There will be bounding pulses in the arms. So there will be bounding pulses in the arms. There's going to be coarse skin in the lower legs. Coarse skin in the lower legs. There will be weak or absent femoral pulses. Meaning the femoral area, There might not even be pulses in those areas. The pulse, you take a familiar pulse, there will be no pulsation or there will be weak pulsation in them because the blood flow to the body is lowered because of the lumen of the aorta that has become narrower. That's what happened in there. Then also, there will be heart failure in infant. Infant going to have heart failure, there will be faintness, there will be weakness, there will be syncope, they will have poor feeling, they will have nose bleed in older children. There will be nose bleed. There will be nose bleeds in older children. It is a very important symptom or sign. Nose bleed in older children. For our end, this is important. Any question? Now, for these conditions, for the treatment, you want to make sure one for the infant, for the COA, we do balloon angioplasty. For the COA, we do balloon angioplasty. COA, they will do balloon angioplasty. Plastic for COA for the children. Now for COA, for the infants and children will do balloon angioplasty. For infants and children will do balloon angioplasty. Now, for the adolescents, we'll do a procedure for them called placement of the stent. So we'll do stent placement for adolescents. We'll do stent, STENTS, stent placement. For adolescents, we'll do for them stent placement for the COA. Let's look at the... Now, for the last two of these conditions, for the aortic stenosis, because the aortic valve is narrow, we'll do balloon dilation. We put a balloon in and pump it to inflate it, to open it wider. We do balloon dilation with cardiac cauterization. We can also do aortic valvotomy. A surgical procedure, we can do the aortic valvotomy. And we can do the Norwood procedure for this condition. Now, this can come in slower than I plan. You gotta know what are the procedures that involve this Norwood procedure. You gotta know that's for the angle. If the kind of angle, if you don't know it, it's gonna be a guessing show for you. So you gotta make sure you remember which conditions have the Norwood procedure. Any question?
Excuse me. Is balloon angioplasty and balloon dilation the same or are they different?
They're not the same. They are two different procedures.
How is the other one carried? Is it a surgeon or what?
So the one is a surgical procedure, which is invasive, and the other one we just do cardiac cauterization. Also, we use the cardiac cauterization, and then put in the balloon and inflate it. Like this last one, we'll do. This is not invasive. This we'll put in the balloon through cardiac cauterization to cause the dilation of the aorta, of the narrow aorta or the narrow valve of the aorta.